and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. And this is really what Christmas is about. It's easy to forget what it is in the midst of everything else. I was actually out at a store yesterday for a little while, and I can assure you, in the midst of that, it was easy. I made the mistake of going to the Harbor Center, actually, and I spent 30 minutes trying to get out of the parking lot when I left. The stores weren't bad, it was the parking lot. And for a brief moment, I was forgetting what Christmas was about. And I want to help us to remember what it's really about. And the angels tell us here what Christmas is about. And they note what Christmas is about in two places. They talk about what Christmas is about in heaven, which is in the highest, and what it's about on earth. Again, they do this thing called chiasm. They're doing a special type of poetry where they're doing kind of an X, and they're saying, glory to God in the highest, which is in heaven, and on earth, peace to men. So the first thing they're talking about is what happens in heaven, and that is glory to God. Notice again in verse 14, the very first thing they say is that there is glory to God. And this is the heart of what Christmas is about. As important as it is what Christmas means to you and me, if we don't begin with what it means to God, we're on a wrong basis. We're missing the real point. Christmas is first and foremost about what it is for God, that it means glory to God. Notice that this is what the angels say first. They don't begin with what it means to the shepherds or what it indeed means to the whole earth. They begin by saying what it means to God. And that shows us that the very heart of Christmas is about glory to God. Secondly, notice that who's the main actor in this story? It's God. Humanity didn't have anything to do with this. In fact, the human actors in this story, for the most part, are unfaithful. Think of some of the main actors in the Christmas story. Joseph and Mary show up in Bethlehem. There's no room for them in the inn. Most people around them have no clue as to what is going on. One of the few people who finds out what is going on is Herod, and of course his reaction is to slaughter all the children. This is not a human story. This is not a story where the human actions are front and center. It's a story where God is the predominant actor. He is the one who is accomplishing and working, and therefore the story is about glory to God. And think about who Christ is and what he came to do. A fully grown Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, notice what he said in John chapter 17. He prays and he says, I have brought you glory on earth, speaking to the Father, by completing the work you gave me to do. When I was born as a baby on Christmas Eve, in other words, here's what I came to do, to give you glory. And that's exactly what I've done. All the things you gave me to do, I have done, and that was done to bring glory to God. And so the first thing about Christmas is, it's not about you and me. Christmas is about glory to God. How many of you realize that's not the way our culture looks at it? See, that gets lost. And that's why it's important for us to reorient ourselves. Now, that's important even when we're participating in the other things. I enjoy coming in here tonight. I mean, I was really excited getting to come in here and look and see, you know, everything being lit by candlelight. Everything's a lot, y'all look a lot different out here. Some of y'all I miss seeing, some of you I don't miss seeing. So, no, I'm just kidding. It looks a lot different, and this is really nice. It's nice to do something special like this. It's nice that probably tomorrow a lot of y'all do a special dinner. We're getting together with some friends, and we're doing something very special. I really enjoy that, but God is better than a special lighting and a special meeting. I really enjoy about Christmas the music. You know, for the last several weeks, I've been listening to the Christmas CDs, and I like the Christian music, but I also even like, you know, the old music, you know, the standard things, the jingle bells and all that stuff. I enjoy Christmas music. It's really nice. It's a nice time of year to walk through the stores and hear the stuff playing. But you know what? Even if that stuff is nice, that's not what it's about. God is better than any style of music that we could possibly have. I enjoy having family together. This is meaning more to me as we're getting older because it's not a foregone conclusion. Obviously, Tim came home this past week with us. So Christmas is really, really nice because it's one of the few times a year where I've got my entire family together. And that is really good and really important. But it's not as good and not as important as God receiving glory. That's really not what Christmas is about. God is what Christmas is about. And, you know, all the gift-giving is only a reflection of the fact that God has given to us. All of those things that you can think about, and I encourage you, participate in all of them. Enjoy being with your family. Enjoy giving gifts and receiving gifts. Enjoy the music. Enjoy the food and the lights and all of that stuff. But remember, Christmas is first and foremost about glory to God. And like we've been talking about in the family series, for those from the church, how many things can we focus on at once? Only one. Remember the little thing about holding your finger up? Your eyes can focus on exactly one thing. That's the way God has made us. And as that's true with our physical eyes, it's also true in our spirit. If God is your focus on Christmas, everything else will fall into place. But if you try and focus on everything else, you remember when I talked about trying to learn how to shoot a rifle in the Marine Corps? If I focus on the front sight post, what do I hit? The target. If I focus on the target, what do I hit? Nothing. If you focus on God tonight and tomorrow, then you'll hit the target. You'll enjoy what Christmas is about. If you miss the focus on God, no matter what else you pick, you're going to miss what Christmas is really all about. And out of that, if you notice, then there is an outflow, because the angels don't stop there. They do say that there's something for you and I, and that is that on earth there is peace to men. The outcome is peace to mankind. Now, one question is, does this mean that, and sometimes we like to talk about, the angels say on peace on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. Does this mean that you and I are going to get along with one another? That's what, sometimes if you listen, like the Christmas song, my greatest Christmas wish is that there would be peace on earth. Amen. I love if there was peace on earth. But that's not primarily what Christmas is about. Primarily, Christmas is about peace with God, because that's the root war that's going on in our world. The reason we have conflict with one another is because men and women are in conflict with God. And Jesus came to resolve that conflict. Notice what Paul says in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. He says, therefore, we have peace with God. Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice it's the same exact concept that Paul's talking about. Jesus' coming has worked peace for you and me. Where there was enmity between God and me before, the result of Christmas, of Christ coming, is there's no longer enmity between God and I. God is no longer an enemy. He is no longer responding in anger towards my sin. He now turns a friendly face towards me. And that's because of what Christ has done. This means, some of the Christmas carols talk about it, and it's probably why we even on Christmas Eve do the dark meetings, where it's just candlelight and all that. What was the status of the world before Christ came? It was dark. It was utter darkness. And the true light comes into that darkness. And he says, where there was darkness, I'll bring light. Where there was war, I bring peace. And this is how Paul characterizes the message. Notice in 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 21. I'm going to show this verse twice to focus on two different things. Notice how many times up here you can see, if you can see the screen, how many times it talks about us being reconciled to God. Or uses the words reconciled, reconcile, reconciliation. Because that's the effect of what Christ has done for us. He came that we might be reconciled to God. That we who were not at peace with God might now be at peace with God. And in fact, Paul sums up his entire message and says, this is what we do. We speak reconciliation. God is not counting your sins against you. God is offering peace to you and to me. That is what Christmas is about. The overflow of glory to God that comes from Christmas is that God has worked reconciliation for us. Notice again, as you look at the second time I put the verses up here, how it is God is the one who does this. Because the reality is, could you and I have worked peace between us and God? No, because we had offended God. He had not offended us. He wasn't the problem. We were. But on top of that, there was hardness in our hearts, and we weren't in a place where we would have even desired peace with God. Ever since the garden, we've been at enmity with God. We've been running from God. And so if reconciliation was going to be worked, Paul says it's going to have to be Christ who works that reconciliation. Notice he says, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. It's not as if Jesus came and then had to convince God the Father to love you. God the Father loved you from before the foundation of the world. All this is from God, who in Christ was reconciling us to Himself. Notice in verse 19 that God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against Him. And Paul says we're Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us, which is absolutely what God does at Christmas. In Christmas, God is making an appeal to you and to me to say, I am at peace with you. I have turned, to use Martin Luther's phrase, a kind fatherly face towards you. I love you. Do you respond to me? That is the good news of peace on earth. As important as peace between mankind is, and that's an outflow of this, the primary need you and I had that was resolved on Christmas was peace between us and God. And Christmas, once and for all, is God's message that I have worked reconciliation, that I am not at enmity with you, that I have sent Christ to make you at peace with me. And everything else, again, flows from that. If we focus on peace with God, peace between you and I will be an outflow of that. If we miss it, we're not going to find peace even with one another. So I want to encourage you tonight and tomorrow. Let me encourage you to do a couple of things. First, I want to encourage you to celebrate Christmas by keeping God first. This is absolutely imperative because you and I were made to bring glory to God. The old Westminster Divines, when they had the first question in their catechism, to sum up, they said, what's the chief end of man? Why was man made? What's the answer? To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Who in here would like to find the deep abiding joy of knowing precisely why you're on this earth? Every last one of us want that. Every human being wants to know why they're here. Well, I can tell you why you're here. It's to glorify God. Wherever you live, whatever you face, whatever gifts you have, whatever shortcomings or limitations you have one chief purpose, to glorify God. Christmas is a time to remind ourselves that God has called us to glorify Him and to bring glory to Him. And this is the only way that life makes sense. It doesn't make sense any other time of year, and it will not make sense at Christmas if you and I don't keep God first and glorify Him above all things. I encourage you tomorrow and tonight to take time to think about what glory to God means and what Christmas is really about. You know, we're going to go home tonight. You know, we have a Christmas Eve tradition. We open one present, and then tomorrow morning we get up. And from the time the kids were very small, and they were very small, they'd run in and they would get us, and we oriented ourselves on Christmas morning to glory to God by before we opened anything else, we sat down, and what do we read? Yep, the Christmas story from Luke chapter 2. We've always read the same text. We sit down and we read that and we pray and we thank God for Christ coming for us. It's just a simple way. I encourage you to do that. That's why we're here tonight, to orient ourselves that this is about glory to God. I'd encourage you, if you haven't done that, read the Christmas story together. Thank God and talk to Him about what it means. It's good when the kids are young, but it's also something we can do even when they're older, just to remind ourselves this is about glory to God. And I encourage you, secondly, to celebrate Christmas because God has shown you favor. And He has shown me favor. If we didn't remember it any other time of year, we should remember it now and at Easter. Because Christ became man for you and for your salvation. You were lost, and He came to find you. You were dead, and He came to raise you. You were in darkness, and He came to give you light. You are at enmity with God, and He came that you might be at peace with God. I urge you, in Christ, God has shown us favor. And this is, I was thinking about this the other day, and I heard a Casting Crowns song that had what I thought was an amazing line that sums up these two things. Casting Crowns is a Christian group. It's called In Me. And they've got a line that says, how refreshing to know you don't need me, but how amazing to find out that you want me. The message of Christmas is about glory to God. He does not need you, but He wants you. He does not need me, but he wants me. What an amazing, astounding thought. And how comforting it is, because you know what? He wanted you when you were rotten to the core. And nobody else might have wanted you, but God wanted you. His favor, his love, his acceptance of you, his love, favor, and acceptance of me is not based on something in me. It's based on something in him. And that doesn't change. Is that good news? Celebrate the fact God has shown favor to you and to me. That's what this is all about. That's why there's joy to the world. That's why the angels sing. That's why we come and we adore him, because God has shown us favor. And finally, thirdly, I encourage you to celebrate Christmas because the light has come. That's what it means for us. And I encourage you to let other people know. I like telling other people Merry Christmas because I really mean it. I am so glad Christ has come. I am so glad God has shown us favor. And it's great for us to be able to tell others. If I can have the worship team start coming forward.